Hey, I'm Scott, and I am an American in Bangkok. Wow, rainy, thundering, lightning Bangkok. Whew. Hardcore, man. You know, I just finished listening to Led Zeppelin. What is it? Their last album, In Through the Outdoor. And, you know, I haven't listened to that album in many, many years. Many. I don't know why. Just, you know, you're listening to music and all of a sudden the music changes and then you're listening to something else. And I remember when I was graduating from high school, maybe I just graduated, and In Through the Outdoor came, and I was like, what is this album, man? I don't know if I like this. And but, you know, my tastes weren't quite as sophisticated as they are now. And gradually, I grew to like that album more and more. And, you know, I've been trying to listen to it on YouTube. Very, very hard to find the whole album. So I ended up paying $10, and I downloaded the... It was $9.49. Downloaded the whole album. It's only 7 songs. But I downloaded it from Amazon, and I'm happy I did. I don't generally buy music very often. I've got a couple of terabytes. How many? No, I have about, I think I, no, I don't have terabytes. I think I have something like 100 gigabytes of music, which is still quite a lot. You know, it's more than enough to stick on my iPhone. And so I just finished listening to that, and, you know, I really enjoy that album. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, if you like Led Zeppelin a little bit, that's a good album. It's a, you know, it's not quite as psychedelic as their earlier stuff. Not as heavy, really, but I still like it. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I listen to all kinds of music. I was thinking about that today. I listen to all kinds of music. You know, I like a little rap. I like the rap that's, you know, the lyrics are pretty cool. And, you know, you get a little chuckle out of it. And, you know, I don't want to hear people singing about, you know, other people getting shot and killed. And, you know, the cops or the pigs. And I don't like that kind of stuff. But, you know, give me some Eminem or some Snoop Dogg or some of that stuff. Yeah, I like that if I'm in the mood. But, you know, I listen to some classical music. I listen to it once in a while, and I do like classical music. When I was in college, I listened to a lot of classical music because I took some music classes. And, you know, one of them was music appreciation. Let me see here. What is the name of that? I think it's DeMoldau. DeMoldau. Wow, where is it? Do I not have it? I have to have it. It's called Vltava, which is the Moldau. The Moldau is a river. It's by Bedrich Smetana. Just type in the Moldau. M-O-L-D-A-U. Okay? It's not your typical, you know, it's not like Beethoven, da-da-da-da, you know, that kind of stuff. Although that's all right, too, you know, if you're in the mood. But this, the Moldau is, it's the kind of music that I used to get a chill from every single time I listened to it. I don't so much anymore, but depends on the mood I'm in and, you know, how loud it's playing and stuff. But I couldn't remember the name of the song for years and years and years. And then for some odd reason, I was thinking of it. And I was like, what is the name of that song or that piece? And I found it. And now I have it on my, you know, on one of my drives. And I have it on my iPhone. And I listen to it every once in a while. I got to be in the mood for it. I got to be in the mood for classical music. I have some, you know, greatest hits kind of classical music on my iPhone, and I listen to that sometimes. So, you know, I listen to all kinds of music, and right now I'm in the middle of, this is what's going on in my life right now. I'm trying to find a little meaning in my life, you know, besides my kids and my family. Photography has had quite a bit of meaning in the past, and perhaps because I haven't really thought of any projects that really, really excite me, I wanted to do a video series and also a photo series of going from the beginning of the Mekong River all the way to the end of it. And I started figuring it out. And, you know, I was going to take Billy and Corey. We were all going to go together. Corey said, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Billy has maybe going back home for a few months. And it's also quite expensive. I mean, you're talking, this is maybe a 6 week to 2 month project, which means in addition to paying my bills for 2 months and making sure that gets done, and possibly not having access to internet, you know, which means you might have to have satellite, or you've got to be sure that you can get to internet in certain places, and I've got to be sure that, you know, my wife's able to take care of everything, that I need to have paid of my own, and, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, and I just, to be completely honest, while I like that idea, I don't love it. It's not something that I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm so excited about this. I was excited to go to Burma and go photograph the Rohingya Muslims because I knew it was something that was a little dangerous. And, you know, I'll be completely honest. I'm always, now in this day and age, I'm leery of Muslims. And I know I don't have to be, but I am leery of them. And it takes a little time for me to feel comfortable because, you know, you just never know what's going on with them. But I try to keep an open mind because let me tell you something. I went for a fight how many years ago? Oh, God, it's been probably 8 or 10 years ago, something like that. Probably the most profitable fight I've ever been to as far as being a photographer and a writer. And it got me out there. It got my name out there because I was the only foreigner in Borneo for the Chris John Juan Manuel Marquez fight. Chris John barely beat Marquez. And I thought it was a fair decision. I thought it could have went either way, but I thought Chris John might have done enough. And the referee penalized Marquez, I believe, for holding or pushing his head down or something. And I thought at least one of the warnings, one of the deductions was warranted and maybe one wasn't. So I thought it was a very close fight. Some people, you know, some people were crying hometown decision. But the point is that when I was there, I was staying in a little village. The journalists, the Indonesian journalists who I became good friends with, every once in a while, I'll send a message to him or I'll talk to him or whatever. They set me up. They hooked me up. They put me in a little hotel, and that hotel was basically in the middle of a little Muslim village. And it was a little bit of a trip to me because I'm walking around and everybody's a Muslim except me, and I'm walking around in my shorts, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is different for me. And all the journalists were Christians. Now, I don't care what religion somebody is, and like I said, I don't really have anything against any religion. I don't care. You be whatever religion you are. I just don't want to get blown up. I don't care who it's by. I don't care if it's the Catholics, you know, the Christians, the Protestants. I don't care who it is. I just don't want to get blown up. I don't want to be forced into a religion. You know, I don't want the ultimatum given to me. You either believe or you're going to get blown up or we're going to cut your head off. I don't want that. But I got to say that when I went into this village, the Muslims that I was dealing with, because I had to go into internet cafes and that sort of thing because I had no internet service in the hotel. I mean, we're talking, you know, you're in the middle of Borneo. Indonesian Borneo. I think it was, what is it? Balikpapan. And I went to internet cafes, and I had to get a couple things done. I had to go around town to different places. And let me tell you, the Muslims took excellent care of me. They made sure that anything that I needed, that if they could give it to me, they gave it to me. Did I need a pencil? Did I need a pen? Did I need paper? Is the internet working okay? Oh, it's not working that good. Listen, we won't charge you. You know, those kind of things. They're fantastic. Now, it was a profitable experience for me, and I really learned a lot there. But, you know, and that's why one of the reasons that I went to Myanmar, northern Myanmar, a couple of years ago, and went and did that project. And well, it wasn't exactly profitable. For the long term, it was beneficial. But I need to do some projects that are profitable, hopefully, but beneficial to me as far as to the way I feel about my photography. Am I progressing? Because I don't feel like I'm progressing right now. And a lot of it has to do with I just don't have that much time. I mean, I'm making videos, and when you're making videos, it's hard to take photos. Then you start taking photos, you're not taking videos. If I'm doing videos, and I want to do the videos where I'm not answering questions about chowder heads, I'm doing travel videos. I'm doing Kingsley Holgate-type videos. I need to be focused on making the videos. So that either means that I need to focus on, I don't know, I really need one or two other people to be with me and to actually help me. It was nice to have Corey and Billy with me in Cambodia. But, you know, that was our first trip together, and they did help me a little bit. You know, I'd say, hey, can you hold on to this for me for a few minutes? Yeah, yeah, okay, no problem. Can you carry this bag for me or whatever? Can you hold this this camera? You know, can you shoot this? Okay. But I just want to do a little bit more. And, you know, I don't know. So I got some things coming up. I'm thinking about, you know, what am I going to do? I'm constantly thinking about what's my next project? What am I going to do? In the meantime, I'm trying to write books. And I've been reading and writing, and I'm trying to find reason, more reason in my life besides just my family. Not that that's not enough, but, you know, when you got a family, there are times when it's just like, okay, well, you know, this is great. I got a family, but, you know, what about what I'm doing? Now, one thing I thought is I got to get back in the gym. I don't have to exercise as hard as I used to. I just need to get back in the gym. It'll be good for me. So that's something I promised myself I'm going to do. Pain, no pain. I'm going to be in the gym, even if it means I'm exercising for 15 minutes. Just I'm going to do something. Okay, so that's a big step. And that's something that hopefully will be that will help. Okay. So something else that I told myself is I'm going to read a book a week. And right now I finished editing They Call Me Farang, the first go round, the first edition. Now I got the second edition coming out. There've been some changes. I really searched hard to see if there's any mistakes, and I made some changes. I fixed some minor errors. So that second edition is going to go up in a few days. By the way, if you haven't got that book already, pick it up. I'm thinking about getting Ask Me Anything. I'm going to do the audio version of that. I'm thinking about that, but, you know, It's 300 pages. It's going to take me quite some time. And right now, I only have so much time, you know. It's like I wear out. I mean, I wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock, and around 2 or 3 o'clock, I start wearing down. I'm like, all right, you know what? Give me some espresso. Get the espresso in me. I'm okay again. 8, 9 o'clock, you know, my wife is home. She's been home for half an hour. 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, boom. By 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm exhausted. And I try to go to sleep. Usually, I just can't. Last night, I went to sleep at 10:15. I told myself, I'm going to be in bed 10 o'clock. I was in bed, and I was trying to get to sleep. I finally turned the lights out at 10:15. I was reading. I couldn't get to sleep. So, you know, stay awake. I'm counting sheep. Counting naked girls. And I don't know, 11:30, I finally fall asleep. Then I wake up, it's 6 o'clock. You know, that's 6.5 hours. That's all right for me. That's a decent night's sleep. I still feel a little bit run down, you know. I almost always do. And one of the other things, okay, so if I'm exercising regularly, I should be able to get a little more sleep. My body will need it. And then also I'm trying to watch what I eat. I don't want to go vegetarian, but I definitely want to be more into vegetables and fruit and much less like beef and chicken and a lot more fish. So that's the other thing that I'm trying to change. So you got the diet, you got the exercise. I want to start writing my next book because I have an idea of what it's going to be, and I think it'll be quite good. I gotta get there. You know, I gotta put the work in, basically. Once I do that, and the book is done, then fantastic. I got a third book done, and you know, I'm starting to bang them out now. You know, I figure I should be able to get out two books a year. I've got a lot of ideas, and you know, I've got one that's I'm going to have a video series with it, and I'm starting on that already, and that's about a guide to, you know, a guide to moving to Thailand, you know, how to move here through a foreigner's eyes, that kind of thing. So between that, and I'm trying to read one book per week. Right now I've got St. Jack, which is a movie I've talked about. The book came in. And also, what is it, Bad Monkey by Carl Hiaasen. Carl Hiaasen, like Dave Barry, if you've ever heard of him, they're both from Florida. So I can relate to their books because the majority of their books are Florida-related. And, you know, my sister recommended them. So I've started reading St. Jack. I'm about halfway done with that, and I'm about two chapters into Bad Monkey by Carl Hiaasen, and I'm going to have, in another couple of days, I'll order a couple more books. So the idea is to get one book per week. So that's one book per week, diet, exercise. I'm trying to get these podcasts at least one a week on a regular basis. So far, I've been very good about it. And I'm actually thinking about doing daily vlogs again. I don't know how viable that is for me, but, you know, if I get my act together and I start really just trying to be more organized, you know what it is? It's about efficiency for me. Efficiency, how do I use my time best? How can I use it most efficiently? And I'm fly by the seat of my pants. You know, my kid comes to me today, oh, yeah, tomorrow, don't forget, I got to go to the Marines. You going to take me? Now, it's not a big deal. I enjoy taking them. You know, I mean, it's fine. But what it means is I got to wake up a little earlier, and I'm also going to lose an hour, hour and a half, because I got to go. Well, it's about 2 hours. I got to go there, take them there, then I got to come back. And he comes home on his own. But I lose a couple of hours. Now, early in the morning is when I like to write. So guess what? I lose 2 hours. Okay, no problem. It's only once a week. But you know, this is what I got going on. It's like, you know, when you come over here, I've been thinking about this a lot. When you come over here, if you're some young guy and you're going out partying and you got money and you can, you know, you can afford to go out and get drunk, you know, 3-4 times a week. You got some new girl who, you know, every night you don't go out, you know, you're hanging out and maybe you're watching TV, you know, and spending a lot of time in the bedroom and that kind of thing. It's easy to stay busy, but, you know, when you get a little older, you know, my wife is working, my kids are busy with school, I'm trying to do my thing, and it's like, you know, we get one day, maybe 1.5 days where the whole family's together, and most of the time, you know, my kids are on their own. You know, Alex is practicing guitar, he's on the computer, he's doing his homework, Nicholas is doing the same thing, he's doing his computer, he wants to start training a Muay Thai, and you know, I like to simplify things. I really wish it would be, hey, I've got 10 books out. All I need to do is write. And, you know, that's all I got to worry about. Or, you know, your photography's selling very well. You can write when you want. You can take photos when you want. Boom, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to make videos. I enjoy making a good video. I don't always enjoy making videos because, in my opinion, out of the 700 videos I've done, I probably got 10 that I'm happy with. The rest of them, in my opinion, honestly, they're shit. I can't stand watching. You know, people ask me all the time, do you ever watch other Thai vloggers? And generally, no, I don't. Because I can barely stand watching myself. And, I don't want to watch somebody else talking about Thailand. It's like, I was talking to some guy today about it. It's not like I'm the kind of guy who I come here and it's like, oh, what am I going to do today, man? Where can I go? What can I do? I live here. This is my home. You know what I'm saying? It's like I live in America again. It's like you go home, you know, you go out, you do your thing, you run your errands, you come home, you have dinner, you know, you go to sleep, you watch a little TV, you go to sleep, you wake up, you do it all over again. It's the same thing. It's not like, you know, I'm traveling around the world or I'm out doing as many projects as I used to do. And quite honestly, I don't particularly enjoy traveling as much as I used to. It's just more of a pain in the ass. Now, I got a little carried away there, but I wanted to talk about something, and that is the 10-year visa that supposedly is going to go into effect. It has been passed by the Thai government. It's supposed to go into effect, I think, in August of this year. You know, you look it up, and there's very little information about it. But I know that it's something like, let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da. Government approves a 10-year visa for foreigners over 50. Right. Okay, let's see here. Basically, I think you need to have something like $100,000? Let's see, what is this? Astonishing and fantastic news if they can deliver it. Let's see here. I want to check out the specifics because I don't remember them off the top of my head. You know, I don't understand what everybody's so pissed off about this 10-year visa. People are like, oh my God, you know, this is for the elite. This is for only the people who have enough money. No shit. I mean, can you not blame... Can you blame the government for this? I mean, come on. Let's see. It says something that, let's see. You got to earn 100,000 baht a month or have 3 million baht in the bank. Now, let's see here. I don't have any problem with putting 3 million in a time deposit. Okay. You have to have health insurance covering hospital stays. In and out of hospital, that the coverage is worth at least $10,000. Now, I don't know. It seems to me that that's very reasonable. I'm trying to find... I don't know if this is the latest one. See, this was from November 2016, and that is not the latest one. And I really wanted to find that because I think that's what's most important. I want to make sure that they're both the same. Let's see here. What is that? It was June 2017. Let's see here. Well, this is... See, every single one is... here we go. Let's see here. All right. It's the... Non-OX. The visa will cost 10,000 baht and be valid for 5 years, and it can be renewed for another 5,000. Over 50s only, and there's 14 nationalities that are eligible. Japan, Australia, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, Sweden, Great Britain, and Northern Ireland, Canada, and the U.S. You gotta have 3 million baht in a Thai bank account or a combination of 1.8 million in the bank and income not less than 1.2 million. $3 million must be kept in the account for 1 year, can be reduced to 1.5 under certain circumstances. Criminal background check from the country you hold a passport. Health insurance provided by Thai company. Outpatient coverage, minimum 40,000 baht. Inpatient coverage, not less than 100,000 baht. That's not a big deal. Not permitted to work. Unlimited entry, valid for 5 years. Fee is 10,000. 90-day report is still required. You get 2 5-year periods. That's how it's issued. Now, I could probably swing the 100,000 a month because that's 1.2 million. I could probably finagle it. There are ways to do that business-wise. For those interested who really need to know, all you have to do is contact me and I can help you with that. It's not all that difficult. Well, at least it's not that difficult for Americans, okay? Because the Thai government doesn't care where the money's coming from. Now, as I understand it, in Great Britain and maybe Australia, they do care where the money's coming from. Your embassy will not give you an affidavit of income unless you show where the funds are coming from. That's what I believe. It could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's accurate. The problem that I have is I don't have 1.8 million baht in the bank. My wife and I, if we're lucky, we got 40 grand stashed. A little bit more, maybe a little bit less. I don't know. I haven't looked in a couple of months. But, you know, that's about all we got. That's for our house. And we've been saving that for, like, as long as we've been together, we've been saving for that money. It's when you got kids, man, I mean, you know, I'm going to release, a video that's got the budget, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a budget out that goes on YouTube, and then I'm going to have a budget. That same video is going to be available for members. And basically, this is going to be part of one of my books that's coming up, but I'm also going to have my own budget. And let me see here. Let's see here. Where am I looking? Okay. All right. I'll give you some examples of my budget. The transportation for Alex just to go to the Marines once a week is 1,600 baht. Now, 1,600 baht might not sound like a lot, but that is just about $50. $50 a month. That's just for him to go and come back, okay? My wife and I are saving money, and we have, let's see, what do we save? We save about 11,000, anywhere from 11,000, and hopefully in the next couple of months, maybe 2 months, we'll be able to save, between her and I, about 17,000. That's not a whole lot, but okay, it's better than nothing for sure. But right now we're not saving that. We're saving about 10. And that's her money and my money. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, cell phone. You know, Alex and Nicholas have a cell phone and they don't use it very often, but I like them to have money on their cell phone. Because if they get into a bind and they can't call us, what are they gonna do? So there's a couple hundred baht a month each. My own cell phone, I have the, the plan for, the Wi-Fi GPRS plan. It's a $7.99 package. It's 800 baht. And I put 300 or 400 a month in addition to that on my phone. So you're talking about 1,200 baht. I go to the doctor for my testosterone shot. That's 2,600. Our electric bill now is 5,000 to 6,000 baht. And our food bill, Jesus Christ, I mean, where's my phone at? Here it is. Okay. I'm going to look at something because I just went to the grocery again today. But, you know, I've been using this Happy Fresh delivery service online. And the price is about the same. Oh, I like this. Save 20% off when you shop 2,000 or over today through the 26th. So I'll have to see, you know, if you can save 400 baht and you get the free delivery day, you know, you save another 100 there, 150. So you're saving 500 baht. And the prices, they might be a little bit more, but then you subtract the 500. So you're actually saving money. Let me see here. My orders. Okay. From, what's today? Today's the 20th. I got one here for, let's say 1,000 baht. This one is 600. So 16. This one is 800. It's 24. Plus I got 2,500 that I've spent at the grocery store. So that's 49. Here's another 800. That's 57. And 1,200. So about almost 7,000 baht in 8 days. Plus, we have spent money on, we got a pizza this past weekend. What else? We've eaten at the, you know, down the street, we'll pay 100 baht, 150 baht, get something to drink, and we'll get some food from the lady down the street. We've done that twice. All right, that's about 300 baht. The pizza was about another 500. So say, it's about 7,500 baht for 8 days. Now, we're set now. I don't, aside from maybe milk and bread, I'm not going to have to do anything more for another couple days at least. So let's say that I spend 7,500 to, let's say, 8,000 baht in 2 weeks. That's 16,000 baht for my food. Okay? That's about right. But 16,000 baht, what is that? That's like 500 bucks, right? 480 or something like that? 16,000 divided by, say, 33. That's almost $500, $484, okay? We got, you know, my kids got a music lesson. I always put this in here, personal care, so that I can go get a massage and get my nails done, you know, get my hair cut, get my toenails done at the salon. And you know what? I almost never spend it. I almost never go. I go like once every 6 months. We have a water bill. I pay for my bank account back home. I pay $25 a month, and that's so that I don't pay anything for withdrawals from the ATM. I do pay for Netflix and the UFC, and then my spending for Starbucks has gone down from, it used to be, Jesus Christ, I used to spend 300 baht a day times 5 days a week, 6,000, 7,000 baht a month. This is when I had money. This is, you know, say 5-6 years ago. Now, I spend about 1,500 baht a month, and that's really all I spend money on. I spend money on that, and I spend money on equipment. I've got Adobe that I have to pay for. I've got, like, Epidemic Sound, which is the sound for my videos. I've got iCloud, it's just 99 cents. I've got this thing called Portal. Portal is how my the audio version of my book, They Call Me Farang, is sold. It's only $10 a month. I've got my photos are on SmugMug, that's 20 a month. I got Vimeo, that's 10 a month. All this shit adds up. You know, and then, this is not even including my kids' school. Okay, that works out to about 12,000 baht a month. And then I'm looking here, we've got the special class. They take a special class afterwards where they help them with their homework and that kind of thing. Because I'm not really able to help them with their Thai homework. It's very tedious for me to do that. And to be completely honest, they're better off with somebody who can teach them. So we do this class, and it's 2,700 baht for each of the students, for each of them. So that's 5,400 a term. So, you know, that's about 10,000. That's about 300 bucks a year. What's that? $25 a month. You know. So these are a few of my expenses. And, you know, savings is not an expense. But, I mean, I'll be damned. I didn't come over here to rent. a house for the rest of my life. I mean, I've always wanted to own a home, and I want to own some land. That's what I want. I start thinking of Bonanza, Big Valley. You know, I mean, I want a nice chunk of land. I'd rather put $100,000 into a piece of land and then build a house on it as I have the money than to buy a tiny little piece of land or put $100,000 and have to pay every month because I don't like having any bills. You know, and then I didn't even put in here, what is this, the transportation? Oh, it's about $100 a month. That's for me. My wife has to pay transportation to go back and forth to work. Plus, she has to pay for she pays for food because, you know, sometimes the whole crew will go out to lunch every day, you know, or every other day or something like that. So she's got to pay her own lunch. That's, you know, $100 you know, it's just talking about like maybe $1,200, $1,500 a month for her to buy a drink, get something to eat. And then she's got to have transportation back and forth. And to be honest, she rides with somebody most of the time. She takes the boat. You know, she does what she can. And then also we have her medical insurance. That's about $4,000 a month. So all this shit adds up. And this is why I'm going to go over this budget with the members and but not with people on YouTube. But the people on YouTube, I'm going to really break it down because there is definitely a way to live here off of $500 a month. $500 a month is about 16,500, maybe 17,000 baht. Okay. Now, if you've got a house, you know, you've already paid for your house. You don't have to pay anything on it. You know, you have to pay very little maintenance. And then you have to worry about your visa and any medical bills. Maybe, you know, some people, they're covered by their country. Their country takes care of them. I don't know all the countries, but I've heard people say, oh, no, I'm covered, you know. Okay, fine. But, you know, if you've got, maybe you've got a, you know, you're bringing in, say, seven, well, this is the caveat also. You could be bringing in from your pension, you might be bringing in $2,000 a month, per se, let's say. And you've got a couple million baht sitting in the bank, so you're fine for your retirement. You don't have to go out of the country. You don't have to be traveling around. Maybe you don't want to. You're sitting at home, doing your thing with the wife, you know, hanging out, having a good time, building your little garden, you know, whatever you do, reading books, you know, studying history, you know, doing whatever you do, right? All you got to do is eat, pay your electricity. So maybe your wife, you know, she sells fruit around the house or something, or she helps a friend down the street, you know, sew pants. I don't know. You know, she works on the rubber trees, and she makes 10,000 baht a month, but you're bringing in 60, but you don't want to spend more than, say, 20. So she gets a couple thousand for herself. You know, maybe she keeps $6,000 for herself. You know, you go, hey, why don't you pay for this $2,000? She goes out and buys a little food once in a while from down the street or whatever, you know, a little from the shop houses, that kind of stuff. Basically, all you're paying for is food and the electric bill and the internet. So it is possible to get by on, you know, $500-$600 a month for sure. But you gotta, you know, you gotta have a place to live that you're not gonna be paying, or it's gotta be dirt cheap. And you have to have your visa. And you need money so that if something happens, you have that as a backup. If you don't have that, then fucking forget about it. You know. So that's something to think of. I mean, it is good that you can do that. If you got a, you know, if you, let's say you've saved up $200,000 in your life. Now, you put some money in the bank for the Thai government. And, you know, you got this 10-year visa. Okay, so, all right, I know nobody really, you know, likes putting $100,000 into a Thai bank account, but let's say that you put in 1.8, and you've got a pension coming in, and you earn enough from the pension. Let's say that you earn enough, okay, or you set it up to where you earn enough, right? All you have to do is make a little business over there, and, you know, say, let's say you live in the States. You set up a business in the States, and that business pays you a fee. You pay yourself. You get a salary, right? Now, that shows as income. But basically, it's just the money that you're getting from, you might be getting it from your pension, but you just roll it over and show that it's, so, you know, you just make that income. Let's just say that you just make the $3,000 a month. You make the $3,000 a month, doesn't matter how much you spend, you don't have to do shit for 10 years. I mean, you just renew it once. That's it. So in 5 years, you renew it. But you've got $200,000 in the bank, and you're, you know, you're living off of fuck all. I mean, you know, it is, this is the thing. I don't understand why people are complaining so much. If you don't have it, then just stick with the one-year visa. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know what else people want. I mean, what do they expect? I think what it is that Thailand has allowed people that didn't have all that much money to come here and live for so many years. It's become expected. And now it's a little more difficult. So people don't like that. And they're starting to go, hey, what do you mean you're making it more difficult for us? Well, yeah, that's right. Making it more difficult for you. You know, I understand you don't like it, but guess what? It's tough shit. You know, there's only so much you can do. I mean, let's see. I was looking for something else here. Where is it at? Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing. I was thinking about something. You know, while I was reading my book, St. Jack, I highly recommend this, okay? The book and the movie. The movie is based on the book, obviously, by Paul Theroux. Now, Paul Theroux, he wrote, what's the name of that? Where's that book I got? Well, I can't get to it right now. It was, what is it? Let me see here. I think it was something, the Heart of Darkness. Paul Theroux. OUX. Dark Star Safari. But he's written, I mean, probably 40 or 50 books, something like that. And his books are very, very good. Yeah, if you're a dummy, you're going to have a hard time reading his books because they're not real difficult, but they're not real easy either. It's called Dark Star Safari, Overland from Cairo to Cape Town by Paul Theroux. And I think he's the guy who has the son, Louis Theroux. Anyway, he's got just he's got, like I said, dozens of great books. But St. Jack, I don't know what it is. I love the movie with Ben Gazzara. He played the part perfectly. He was Jack. And the book is fantastic. But it really has led me to ask the question, why is it that some people are content to stay home and others become expats? Because I constantly hear these people going, I mean, I just got a message today. Yeah, you're this typical fat fuck who's been in Thailand for 5 minutes and you think you know it all and you don't know shit. Yeah. I just deleted the comment, you know, banned the fucking guy. I mean, I've been here 5 minutes. It's like I was telling this guy today. I've been here almost 25 fucking years. That's half my fucking life almost. Excuse the French. But, you know, I mean, it won't be long, but I'll catch up to where I've been here half of my life. So when do I become someone who really, I just live here? I'm just a dude who lives in Thailand. To me, it's no longer this, and I've said this many times, the exotic flavor of Thailand has worn off probably, I'd say 5, 6, maybe 8 years ago. It's just not the same as it used to be. And it's not a negative. It's not a slam on Thailand. But I live here. It's like you live in a beautiful house on the beach and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have naked girls running in and out of here. And, you know, I got the jacuzzi up on the roof and it's fantastic. And then after a while, it's like, yeah, all right, it's a great house. You know, I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, I'm always thinking of where else would I like to live in the world? And I've come up with about a half a dozen places, and I'll tell you them right now. One of them is Ecuador. I've said that for a long time. I'm actually starting to think about Chile. And it's because my buddy's down there and he says it's fantastic. But I don't know. Might be a little too cold for me down there. Amsterdam. But I'm not sure I'd want to live there now. Say 10 years ago, yes. You know, I'd have to have some big dough to live in Amsterdam. Where else? Portugal. I'd like to live on the island. I think it's Madeiras is, I think, the name of it. Maybe France. There's certain parts of France. Maybe Sardinia. You know, these are countries, they don't get a whole lot. Well, France does. Portugal, not so much. But I was going to say Sardinia doesn't get a whole lot of, you know, it's not out in the public domain, per se, as a place to live nearly as much as, say, Thailand. But and then I think about places, you know, like Mexico and Costa Rica. But for the most part, you know, I could whittle it down to five or six places really quick. But I just can't see picking up everything from here now. Because my wife and I have worked really hard for what we have. And I still remember coming over here with an old duffel bag, one suitcase, and a backpack. And I don't have any of them left. They're all gone. I don't know what happened to them. And I remember carrying over. One of the bags was full of CDs. Who uses CDs now? I mean, most people don't use them anymore to listen to music to. You know, and I mean, I grew up when there was, you know, vinyl and 8-tracks and cassettes. And then it's, you know, CDs. And I don't know what happened to all the CDs either. Don't have them. That's all I had when I came here. Now I'm looking around just in my bedroom alone. I mean, I've got, you know, 15 cameras. I've got some, you know, dressers for the that go, you know, next to nightstands or whatever. I've got a bed. I've got, I don't know how many bags I've got. I've probably got 15, 20 bags that I can put clothes in, or I can put my computer, my laptop, and my cameras in. I've got, I mean, I'm looking around. I've got tripods. I've got boxing equipment. You know, then we've got a bed in my, like a split bed for my kids. And then, you know, they've got their own laptop. And then we've got a computer downstairs. And we've got a TV downstairs. And we've got a big, huge kitchen table. And we've got a big sofa that I paid, you know, pretty good money for. Yeah, we've got all the kitchen equipment. We've got a microwave, a little mini oven thing. We've got coffee makers. We've got we got rice cookers. We got fans. Clothes. Everything has been purchased since I have moved here, and more so, you know, since my wife and I got married, since we got together. So it would be really difficult for us just to pick up. So my thinking is that maybe one day what we'll do is, when the time is right, maybe we'll take the kids. You know, we'll still live in Thailand. We'll take the kids and we'll go hang out in Bali for 2 months. Or we'll go stay in the U.S. Or maybe we'll stay a month in Japan and then we'll go to the U.S. and hang out with my parents. And then, or maybe we'll go to Mexico. My kids really want to go to Mexico and France. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff. I do get some purpose, I do have a purpose in life when it comes to the family for those kind of things. But I want to do a lot of these, the projects that I want to do, I want to do for myself. And so my thing is, it's always about indecision. It's, what do I want to do? What can I do? What's going to be interesting to people? That's the other thing. Because I'll be honest, Thailand is fucking boring to me. I mean, honestly, it's a boring place to me now. I find my shit to do. I find things to do. I make it not boring. If I'm really bored, I pick up a book. I go for a walk. Down. I go watch guys pay tack raw. Whatever. I go to the mall. And now I'm thinking about taking a train trip, like from all the way from northern Thailand all the way down to the south and then back up to Bangkok, just to do something. You know, I mean, like, I want to stay busy. And if you've ever heard me talk about this guy Kingsley Holgate, this guy in Africa, this guy's fantastic, man. But he drives around in a Land Rover with his son, and he used to be with his wife, who's unfortunately she passed away a couple of years ago. She was part of their team, and his son's wife, and you know, now they've got a nonprofit where they pass out glasses and they give these, what are they called, the life straws, you know, where you can get water from dirty water by just sucking it through or whatever, you know, which, you know, it's necessary in Africa. And I've always wanted to go to Africa, but, and I've wanted to go into the Congo and Central African Republic. I want to go to the places that are still really rugged. And, you know, it's always be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. Well, one day I might get it. But, you know, I think maybe in the beginning I might go to South Africa. I might just try to, you know, tick off some of the boxes. One of the things I want to do is go to South Africa and try to photograph the great white sharks as they breach going after the seals. And I think that's Dyer Island. There's a guy named Chris Fallows. He's a very knowledgeable guy. He's been around it. It's, you know, like, this is one of the things that I want to do. And I want to photograph it, and I want to videotape. I want to film it, and I want to do something with it. But those are not really projects, per se, because I don't see myself doing a project on sharks, just because it's not, that's really not my world. I mean, maybe I could make it my world, but I don't see that happening. That's more like a YouTube project. And not there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, I've just been thinking about what are some worthwhile projects. I've been thinking about this for years. And I did the whole Klong Tui, and I did the thing with Bong, and that was very worthwhile. And I think I'm thinking about going back. I've been thinking for a month or so about going back there and just seeing how things are and if the area has changed at all and the people that I photographed have made any changes or whatever. But, you know, I'm always trying to think of new things. And this is the thing. I think if you come here, you either have to be the kind of person who is okay with sitting in your chair all day reading and then watching TV and then maybe going down to the market with your wife. And then, you know, that's pretty much your day if you're a retiree. And then, you know, once every 2 or 3 months, you make a little trip, you know, I don't know, to northern Thailand somewhere. With me, you know, my wife has a career, and she definitely should not give it up now because she's doing very well in the sense that she's moved up and she's starting to earn more money. But, you know, I mean, she's probably got another 5 or 10 years of work at least where she can work. And she's told me, you know, I don't know if they're going to want to keep me because I'm going to be an old lady then. You know, here in Thailand, if you're 40, 45 years old, 50 years old, they think you're old. It's like, all right, you know, I don't know if we can use you anymore. You're too damn old. Yeah, but I still earn more money than anybody else in the company. You know, I'm earning more for the company than anybody else. Yeah, but you don't fit our ideal. You know, they have that mentality sometimes. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm always thinking about this, and I think, and honestly, probably what's going to happen is at some point in my life, I will live a few months in the United States, and the rest of the time I'll be in Thailand, maybe so that I can get health care, and I can take care of that, you know, maybe 4 months out of the year. I start out, boom, I go into the VA, I get taken care of, and then I go back for an appointment, and then, you know, when everything's all done, okay, I fly back to Thailand, you know, maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know, because I don't think that we can afford to have the kind of insurance that, you know, a guy just, one of the members just wrote me today and was asking about, or he wrote, he left a comment in the Facebook group asking about insurance here and how he's heard about Bupa dropping people who have been found to have major illnesses or disease like cancer or that kind of thing. Which I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't really heard that, but I've had fairly good experiences with them. But I wouldn't want to count on them to take care of me when it comes to, like, if I had cancer. You know, I'd like to get the majority of the work done back in the U.S., not because I don't think that the care is good here, but because I don't know how the insurance is going to deal with it. You know, that does concern me, for sure, if there's anything major that happens. And fortunately for me, I have the VA, but, you know, it takes time to get back to the U.S. What if I'm not able to get back? What if I'm too weak? You know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, you know. So, you know, when you come over here, that's the other thing a lot of people don't think about. You come over here, you know, are you prepared to stay for the duration? Or are you sure about it? Do you know? Because let me tell you something. When I came 22 years ago, and I started living here, once I got settled, I thought, oh, I'll live here for the rest of my life, for sure. I'm never going anywhere. You know, then I got married, now I got kids, and I don't know that I want to stay here for the rest of my life. It's not that I don't like it here. It's that I always feel, I do feel like, well, that I am an American. And while I have let me put it to you this way. Whenever I see a Thai fight, maybe he's fighting a Mexican fighter or a Filipino fighter, I'm always rooting for the Thai. You know, when I see a Thai team playing against them, I'm always rooting for them. Doesn't matter where I am in the world. Because this is my second home, you know. I mean, but America is my first home. I will always be an American, you know. So, you know, I can't give that up because there's problems in the U.S., because somebody doesn't like this president or that president, whatever, you know. I've always been of the opinion that, like the president or not, like his decisions or not, like his demeanor or not, he's an American, you're an American, you are a team against the rest of the world if need be or when need be. And I don't get that feeling right now. I don't feel that's how it is right now, but, you know, whatever. I don't live there. And, you know, but that's another concern of mine. And the other concern is the rising costs of living over there. And, you know, the laws seem to be favoring Big Brother more and more. And I certainly don't like that. So, anyway, I hope I've given you guys a little something to think about, or at least you've been entertained. If you haven't bought my book already, my new book, Ask Me Anything, Letters from Farang, I suggest you get it. If you haven't bought my other book, definitely get it. I'm constantly laughing when I read that book. I read through it, and I can't believe I wrote some of it. You know, I'll be like, oh my God, where did this come from? But, you know, there are certain sections of the book that every single time I read it, I laugh. And that's when I usually know something's funny. If I do something over and over again, read it over and over again, watch it over again, and I get the same reaction, then I know that's, you know, if I go, oh, God, that's just wrong. No, I shouldn't do that. Then it's probably wrong. So, what else? Hey, you know, people don't think about this, but I am a photographer. I do sell my prints. For right now, I haven't released this, but this is kind of a soft sell. 6x6 prints of any of the photographs that you've seen, just email me, scottmallon@me.com. Email me, let me know that you want a certain photograph, and 6x6 photograph is $75. That's printed on This is not like a print on a cheap piece of paper or on a film. This is photographed, one of my photographs that's printed by Gicle, the Gicle method. It's archival ink, archival paper, high grade paper, high quality paper. It'll be shipped to you from the United States, okay, and you got to frame it, but it's a 6x6, 6 inches by 6 inches, $75. And believe me, that is a low price. I'm trying to raise as much money as I can because I'm trying, at the end of, I have a project going on now, and in approximately, well, it's anywhere from 10 to 13 months, I'm saving money right now for this project. It's going to be a fair chunk of change, but I need to get as much as possible to be able to pull it off. So this is one way that I'm raising money. I'm selling my photographs, and I don't usually sell square photographs, 6x6 photographs, but I am selling them now, $75. Any of the photos you've seen, they'll come, they'll be extremely high quality, and basically you slap a frame on them, stick them up in the bathroom, stick them up on the wall in your house or whatever, and, you know, liven up your place a little. So, anyway, that's all I got. So, until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok di la jerk en mai.